Hey you, it's me, Barney from Playtime. Remember, I promised I'd explain Playtime's awesome new diaper bags to you if you promised to go check them out. You haven't returned any of my calls, so this is my last resort. Playpacks are a multi-handle backpack diaper bag made from high-quality waterproof nylon by the folks at Playtime. Playpacks are able to fit up to 6 adult diapers, with room to spare, and with their wide, reinforced main compartment, they stay open on their own during changes. Plus, if you're an overpacker like me, the Playpack has you covered with oversized elastic and interior pockets, as well as insulated cup holders. And they're not just good for diapers. With their inner zippers and front net pockets, they're the perfect size for school, work, or outdoor activities. I'll never need another bag again. Choose from a bunch of different designs, from adorable dino and sailor patterns to more discreet baby blue or blackout designs. These functional diaper bags will have you feeling super cute, whilst making sure you're always prepared for a change wherever you are. Well, I've upheld my end of the bargain. Now go check out Playtime's Playpacks and see which one's for you. Please, don't let me down. Wem will you wear wigs? Willkommen im der Big Top. Mein Name ist Barney und heute ist mein Gast Diaper Style. Diaper Style has been in the kink community for a long time now, and you may have seen his stylish branded diapers kicking around the internet. Since getting to know him, I've been fascinated both by his crafty approach to fetish and his weird and wonderful kinky stories, so it was only a matter of time before I wore him down and convinced him to join me on the pod. You can give him a follow on Twitter at DPRStyle. If you get the chance, please rate and review this podcast. I would love to hear from you, whether that's to shower me with praise or inundate me with threats. Today, the circus is in Berlin, Germany, and I invite you to join me as we go under the Zirkuszelt.
How do you do?
Huh?
How do you do?
I do great. How do you do?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about those crazy, wacky experiences, because I've had so...
Crazy and wacky is more your job, so...
Yeah, but also, like, I think you've had more out there sort of kinky ones in terms of, you know, shitting in someone's mouth.
Oh.
But, like, I always want to start with those kind of, like, weird, embarrassing stories that are kind of, like...
Weird and embarrassing?
Oh, well, okay, my stories are all weird and embarrassing.
Okay, actually, one of the weirdest things was, when I was 16, I had, like, the first gay experience. Uh-huh. I thought, like, okay, this is fun. Want to have more. So we go out to this thing called internet, which used to be a pretty new thing back then. No. Not that bad, but you know,
because you're 57 years old, of course.
So here I go on my first with 16 on my first online sex date.
Uh-huh.
And it was a guy same age as me.
Wait, sorry. So you met this guy online when you're 16?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sex, and it was the second gay sex in my life, and it was the first online sex. Yeah, I went down to the efficient way pretty quick.
You're 16 and you've met someone online for sex, and it's only the second time you've done
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So,
which, by the way, we can have a conversation about safety online and what you should and shouldn't do. And blah, blah, blah,
yes,
blah, blah,
of but... course, but you know, it's an important conversation. But at least it was a guy my age, and you know, and okay. I would say, you know, maybe this is not the best story concerning safety, but it's. It's still kind of fun and nothing bad happened. It was super weird.
Hey, we're not here to be perfect.
So I met this guy and, you know, I was living back with my parents. And so he told me, yeah, you know, I live with my father, but he's not home for tonight. He's out of town for a couple of days, so we can meet at his place. And so we did. And we were like going down and dirty on the living room couch. And while I was vigorously humping him, suddenly the door opened. And in came a mildly obese, bald-headed, gray, elderly man in a fine ripped shirt and tighty-whitey briefs. Came in, but did not really react. It was just, like, for him, the most normal thing ever in the world. And just passing and saying, oh, don't be disturbed, I just need to go to the toilet. Okay. And then I heard the sound of like door closing, pee noise and toilet flushing, and I was asking like my host, who is that? You told me your father is not at home. Oh, that's not my father. This is just a guy. He has a room for rent here. He lives with us. And I told him, yeah, of course, this is makes it a total difference. I don't know. And then, of course, the guy came back to his room. All done. Go on. And they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. So this was like super weird.
Oh my God. You told me this story. I didn't know that was your second time ever. I didn't know you were 16. What the fuck? That is so weird.
It is, but you know, it already like, I don't know, it set the record or set the mark, the bar.
Yeah, nice.
Or whatever. So yeah, this was fun. Then
wait, how did you then get into diapers?
I would say actually this the first kink I ever had.
Really?
So I had like very vague thoughts of it when being 12 or something like that, or even earlier, actually. I can remember that a friend of mine had a sister, and she had one of these playhouses, kept her dolls inside and everything, and to play family or whatever, there were some disposable diapers in there as well for her little dolls. And those kind of oddly fascinated me. I never like sneaked one or tried it on or whatever, but you know, it was like the presence was thought provoking. Mm. I don't know.
Okay.
And as happened, he himself had like a bed wetting sheet under his covers, like one of those plastic sheets.
Yeah.
And I thought that was oddly fascinating as well. So these were like the earliest sparkles. Yeah. And from that point, it kind of progressed and evolved. And everything. Then, you know, when you are like, I have to remember, I think I was 13 when I started to like being able to jerk off or whatever. And from that point on, and then the whole coming out thing and gay thing like occupied my mind. So there was no so much room for like fetish or whatever, but it still was like somewhere in the back of my mind.
Okay.
And then I had to settle and sort out, you know, the whole coming out thing and, oh, your first love and whatever. And then like the first time, yeah, well, and in between when I was like 15 or something, I bought my first pack of diapers for myself. It was Pampers trainers, which were like one of the first pull-ups for bigger kids, you know?
Okay.
And they kind of fitted me.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I hid them somewhere in the basement under a pile of rubble. No, you're super paranoid.
Yes. Oh, of course you are. Yes.
Of course you are. Oh,
at that age, so paranoid. I didn't even want to own anything. I had like two things, and I would wear them when I wanted to, and I would like hide them.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's pretty brave, actually. Like even having them in the house. Like I yeah.
And it was, and I remember what freaked me out. At that point, I mean, today it would be like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, I didn't have my own room.
Oh, right.
Like only the last 2 or 3 years when my brother already moved out, then it was my room. But that was not a problem. We got along very well and still do today. So nothing wrong with that. But it means, of course, you know, if I want to play with myself or whatever, there is only realistically the bathroom, and it's just not fun to like put on a diaper and then stay in the bathroom for 6 hours, and it's not really it could raise questions. So so I would do it on the way outside, like, you know, going to like a cafe or whatever, going to the toilet, put myself into a diaper, and then just walk around the city or whatever.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, I did this very rarely because, you know, super paranoid and you know. But I remember one day I did this, and it was like in my happy mode, and suddenly I bumped into my grandmother who was in the city for shopping, I don't know. And she was starting to talk to me. And of course, you know, it was like I had bulky pants and it was like a super tiny pull-on brief. But of course, I started instantly to grow beet red and pumping hard and whatever. Then she wanted like, oh, let's go have a coffee somewhere. And I was like, oh, no, I'm heading home. I'm busy. I have homework to do.
Whatever.
So this was like the early years. And then the first time I really tried it like with adult diapers and like another guy was when I turned 18.
Okay, because I was going to ask, you've had this like crazy experience with that guy walking in. Did you kind of then just go like, oh, I'm just going to go for it, you know? Like, someone's seen me have sex
actually,
already.
As far as I remember, we finished the job.
But did you just kind of throw caution to the wind and think like, okay, let me try diaper sex?
Meeting the guy when I was 18.
Yeah, were you just
At that point, I had like fetish and kink dates already. So
right.
Not a big deal, yeah. I was always pretty, I always knew where to go to have fun, you know, put it like that. And so far, nothing. I mean, I also had my stupid mistakes and sex accidents and whatever, but they never came out of a lack of care. Let's put it like that, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes stupid stuff just happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, weird stuff. Very weird was when I once met a guy who picked me up in his car because he lived a little bit outside of the city. But he seemed nice and trustworthy or whatever. And then we were sitting there and he asked, is it okay? I feel a little down and tired from the workday. Is it okay if I take some speed?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, pfft. And you know, my personal drug policy is I don't have a problem if people take something, but I want them to stay at least somehow on the same level as me. You know, not they should not dose themselves completely so that they are basically like, hello, are you with me? This kind of thing. But I told him, yeah, you know, if, as long as you know your limits, okay. Then he was, yeah, okay, fine, thanks. And then he was taking speed. Then he was super, super, speedy. You know, he was a speedy Gonzalez. He was hyper, hyper. Rah, rah, rah. And so after 10 minutes, he told me, well, you know what? I'm afraid I'm a little over the top now. But that's no problem, because I still have some Ritalin.
No.
And I take the Ritalin to calm me down a little bit. And it was at this point, I already thought like, okay, this is leading nowhere, at least not to sex. But I want to see the show. I don't know. You know, I told him, yeah, okay, whatever. So he took the Ritalin. Then he thought, no, you know what? This made me a little bit too tired. But of course, I have the cure. Just a little bit of speed. And this went like three or four times, you know. Like,
seriously?
Yeah, I don't know. He did this a couple of times until he, I don't know, get the equilibrium or whatever.
That's so fucking dangerous.
And then, with red eyes and totally over, he told me, yeah, okay, I think I'm ready now. Like, let's do the sex now. And I was like, no. not really. And he was like super sorry and said, yeah, I know, I have a problem. I told him, so too.
Yeah.
But then came... And you know, this is like normal gay sex drug drama, I don't know. But then he asked me the 1 million euro question. Do you want me to drive you home?
Oh my God.
An offer that I thankfully rejected. But that was like, that question was like...
Wow.
Yeah, do you want to drive me home?
I hope that person is okay, and I'm also glad that you were okay.
Yeah. So, and you know, and stuff like this, just, these are the weird stories you remember.
Oh my God, whoa. And that was just, there wasn't even kinky play involved.
No.
You went through all this.
And then there was this guy that was kind of cute, but also saddening a little bit, and I hope he does well. I had a date with this guy, you know, and I was like 18 or something like that as well. Uh-huh. And he was like my ballpark age-wise and living at home as well. But he told me, yeah, you can come over. Parents are not at home. And so we did. And he was, so his family was from Egypt, I think. He was a Muslim boy, which means a whole other bunch of problems with coming out and stuff.
No, you told me.
And so we were in his room and had some fun. And then suddenly I could hear the door open, like the flat of the apartment door. And he got super panicked, me as well, you know?
Yeah.
But then, and he rushed out of the room, but obviously it was not his parents, it was his sister. And then I could overhear the conversation, like they were screaming at each other. His sister basically saying, "You cannot continuously bring over guys to have gay sex with them. You know that I do not care. I wish you well, but mom and dad, if they find out, they kill them. I don't care. It's my life. I know, but..." And they were giving it at each other, and it, like, in the middle of the yelling, like after 10 minutes of yelling, I like quietly put on my jacket and shoes and like sneaked past them. It's like, just, yeah. Goodbye.
I would have just stayed.
That was like, there was just way too much tension everywhere. Oh, but
Oh, that's hard.
That is hard. And then, of course, in Berlin, in the scene, you meet lots of super interesting guys of all different kinds.
Berlin. Wow, that Berlin really changed my life.
So the thing is, you at a certain point, you don't even realize weirdness, you know, because it comes kind of normal. It's more like if you go then to the muggle world. Or like, I don't know, go back visiting your families for 2 weeks or whatever.
Yes.
And you're kind of lacking weirdness. It becomes the normality becomes kind of suffocating, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like now, sometimes when I'm with vanilla friends, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Yeah. What? Shut up. This whole.
Oh yeah. On my car, I got this super nice seat cushion.
That's so much more interesting than
what's the office doing? Oh, you know, we had re-evaluation week. It was so exhausting. It's just like, yeah.
It's when they're talking about their relationships and I'm like, give a fuck. What are you talking about? Well, he did this and I don't know. And is this weird? And I'm sort of in, oh, I think they're jealous of that. I'm like, what? Just,
talk to each other. Not to me.
Shut up. Like, why are you talking to me? I don't care. I just want to...
I mean, this is all fine as well, but it's just this lack of weirdness. And
yeah.
What I especially triggers me is people who take themselves so super serious. You know, I take nothing serious, especially not myself. But
life is too short.
But, you know, people who are so buttoned up and so drained of all fun, not only drained, but, you know, like... wrenched out every single drop of fun.
Okay, so hang on. When did you even... Were you like in the Austrian scene before you came to Germany? Or did that all kind of happen like from...
I came to Berlin like 10 years ago. And back home, I was in the scene, but not very intensely. It was more like private play with people I know. And then especially the whole diaper thing is just a private fetish. You know, there are no, where I come from, there are just, or used to be, no such parties or events.
So. Because ABDL's become huge now.
It is, yeah. It's certainly getting more and more popular and not only so much about people are more proud of it or like feel comfortable with showing, but also it gained more acceptance among people who are not into it and totally. Into other kinks. So yeah, definitely. So this whole, you know, it's weird, it's creepy.
Oh yeah,
and it's disgusting because of pee-pee and poo-poo or whatever. You know, this whole kind of things. I mean, this is maybe still there with people, but I think they are increasingly able to tolerate it just as one other legitimate king among others.
But do you know why?
And you see it more and more. You see like painted puppies and everything, and it and this way it gets more and more, it infiltrates more and more other kings. Oh. And so people don't take notice anymore. You know, for them, it's just like the leather guy would not care if a rubber guy passes by.
Which is funny because it seems like it's happened so quickly, but it's no wonder. I mean, first of all, like half of furry Twitter just came out as ABDL, which happened all at once and was like a domino effect. And, you know, we've all known that for a long time, but it was interesting to watch happen. But it's because of like people like you. I mean, honestly, your whole sort of brand, I guess, is like making brand, but you know what I mean, is like making diapers cool, like diapers as fashion, making them fashionable and making these kind of fun, creative ways of saying, look, this is just me and I'm just being cool and being myself. And it's not all those preconceived notions. It's not all these, you know, creepy or whatever the fuck people, you know, might assume. And it's because you have been putting that out there that you've like really helped to normalize it.
Yeah. I would not overestimate my part in this.
I wouldn't underestimate your part in this, because I definitely saw, like, even I saw, I think, your stuff before I met you, and I like was aware.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
I think there's definitely a ripple effect of,
yeah, definitely. You know, everything you put out on the internet has a ripple in good ways or bad ways.
Well, yeah, but it encourages other people to do it, because,
yeah, so like, so I always like the most when I see people reacting, not only reacting, but getting inspired or getting an idea out of it to try something their own. And you know, this is the interesting thing, that that like perspectives are so different, because you're telling me that I helped popularizing it, which I would like to take credit for, but I heavily doubt that I had big influence. But then
we all know that's not true.
And then like at the Folsom, I was sitting in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and a guy like tapped on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And yeah, I told you that before, I think, tapped on my shoulder and said, hey, and not even himself, but he told me, hey, a friend of mine would really like to meet you, but he's shy and scared, or I don't know, is it okay if he comes over and say hello? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then there was this guy who was like super nervous, like, oh my God, it is you, and I follow you for years, and I love your art so much, which is, you know, it's not art, it's boredom and glue. but this is what I'm trying to say, perspectives, you know?
Boredom and glue.
This guy comes to me in my humble profile and says, oh my God, you're so awesome, I'm shaking to meet you. And I was like, yeah, calm down. It's just playing old me.
Yeah. No, so actually doing this podcast, I've had that moment so many times now, because I've gotten to interview people who I'm like, oh my God, oh, hi. And then, because, you know, I got someone, actually two people recognized me at Folsom, and I was like, recognized what? Like, I guess the clown. But also, yeah, recognized what? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice. It's very flattering and cool, and it's so great to meet people like that, because then it's like, wow, okay, clearly this has far more of an impact than I have. But I also can't wait to see then, like, what other people do when they... Because the whole reason I started this was because I was like, I wish that I had seen more people growing up just being themselves and doing all this, the kind of stuff, like talking about it and normalizing it and, you know, making it less, feel like it's not as weird, because then maybe I would have had the like bravery to do it sooner. Okay. I really, really need to pee, so I'm going to go pee. Let's take a quick break and then come back. Don't look at me like I should go and get padded, because I... Are you padded?
Not at the moment, actually.
I have so many diapers.
That I haven't see, used. I have not enough. So, you know, it's a little...
Okay, well, like, I'll bring some when I come in
It's a little bit like when you buy a bag of weed. You know, the first joints you roll are super filled and heavy. Ah, yeah. And then the more you get to the bottom of the baggie, it's a little, maybe put a little less in this time. Uh-huh. It lasts longer. Yeah. The same works for disposable razors, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the last one of the pack always lasts a week.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. No, I've been using a disposable razor for so much longer than it. Like, I need to throw that thing away.
You know, when it turns from cutting the hair to ripping it out, then you should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To taking off just a few layers of epidermis with it. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we come back.
Adulting is hard. Whether you're working hard to make deadlines, meet expectations, or juggle responsibilities, you're always on the go. And even when you're not, you're still painfully aware of your own existence, crushed beneath existential dread, forever mired in the muck of mediocrity. Why not let go and have some fun with Color Time? Playtime are now hosting a free-to-enter monthly coloring competition to bring together the community with art drawn by ABDL artists, including me. Let your inner child out and join in for the chance to win a $10 gift card with Playtime. Simply download the coloring page at playtime.link/colortime, color it however you want, and send it in before the deadline using the hashtag ColorTimeForPlaytime. We'll pick the top 5 pages and the community votes for the winner on the Playtime Playground. Let yourself regress and see if you can stay in the lines. More information on the Playtime website. Much better.
Okay.
Pee-pee done. Speaking of, when did diapers become... When did the, like, fashion diaper thing happen? When was that... When did that, like, click?
That is a good question. That I... the first times I tried something like this, I think I have the pics in my profile somewhere. It's this very early Adidas diaper.
That, like, blew my mind. The first time I saw it, I was like, it looked real. Wait, was Twitter where you kind of, like, got your start, where that, like, happened for you? Or were you on Tumblr first?
I was on Tumblr first.
Ah, Tumblr boy. I mean, I was on Tumblr, but I wasn't, like, doing much.
Yeah, and then there came, like, the big...
Tumblr apocalypse.
Outcry because of the sex ban, which turned out to be... I mean, my profile is still there.
Yeah.
I decided to stay with Twitter because I like it better as a platform. And it really gave me a boost.
Yeah.
There was like a guy that I used to play with a lot back at home.
Uh-huh.
He must have been around 50 or 60 when I was like 18. But he had, you know, he was a super nice guy, lots of experience, huge playroom with a shitload of toys. You know what they say, it needs an old horse to learn riding. But yeah, we had plenty of fun, and with him I could try out basically everything, the diapers like as well. And one day I just realized, you know, I'm into sportswear I'm a very visual guy. Yeah, when it comes to fashion and to sportswear and to Skelly and to logos and branding and stuff like that. And one day it was really just this obvious thing that takes time to realize is that like a diaper. Basically is a big empty space.
Yep.
That is useful. So so I decided to try it and it looked good, but I never, you know, it's one of these things, it's not like I would constantly put myself in something like that and then sit in front of the mirror and masturbate or whatever. It's more, you know, when I wear diapers for myself, it's for the feeling and the comfiness and the kink, the sexiness, whatever. But I don't need to make a big fuss of designing it. Like I did occasionally, and then I decided to share it on Tumblr, and it proved to be popular or likable or whatever. But only when I like switched to Twitter, it like really took off. And took off, I mean, it's not that a big deal, but it increased and...
I don't know.
And I got more motivated because of the resonance. You know, people liking it, leaving comments, writing messages, totally. Sharing, and meeting new people who will, like, motivate you, inspire you, whatever. And, like, this whole kind of interaction, like, motivated me in, like, making it a thing or making it my own, or I don't know.
You kind of have become like the fashion diaper guy.
Come on, fashion, I don't know.
For real, I mean, like...
It's not fashion, I'm a brand whore.
Yeah, okay, the diaper brand whore guy. I mean, because like so many of my first times, like my first spreader pants experience was with you, and then my first like layering experience. Oh, and then obviously the printed diaper. I remember actually when it was like magic to me when you made that puppy diaper in like 10 minutes. And I was like, okay, it's simple. Fine, I get it. But like the amount of umming and ahhing and preparation and like shit that goes on in my head whenever I need to do anything. Like when I made that Team Rocket one, that took me fucking forever. Just because I like, I don't know, you do it so fast, but it's always so good. And I'm like, okay. Like, I just can't do anything on time ever. Also, like, I mean, so, like, I draw cartoony kind of styles, but I don't bash things out like that. Like, you, this is clever and also super creative and also super cute looking. Like, you work really quickly and really well. Like, in a way that I just...
So I really hope somebody appreciates what I do. I mean, I know people do, but it...
They totally will. How can you not? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, like, I think everything is kind of impressive, but then again, I have so few skills that... When people have more than two, I'm like, fuck. Wow. Maybe I should have... Because, you know, in England, we do, like, three subjects in when you finish school. And that really fucks you up for life.
What like the final exams you take in, like, three...
Yeah.
Really, three?
Three subjects. Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy.
I had seven.
Which is a great way to set kids up for life, as opposed to the English system, where... You have to specialize so early. So I haven't done maths. I haven't studied maths since I was 15 years old. My maths is terrible.
Mine too. But my problem was, you know, we have a similar problem when you turn 14. You have to decide, like, which path to go through the education system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to me, it was very weird because suddenly I turned 14 and then these people came and tell me, hey, you are 14 yeah. years old now. Tell us now how you want to spend the rest of your life.
Yes, yeah,
and this was terrifying to me.
Yeah,
and it was super. And I thought always the guys are suspicious who always had like a plan. You know, being 12 or 14 and already having their life planned ahead.
But this is the thing: they don't, like, they're kids, so they don't know shit. And most of the time, it's that their parents have made that, you know, said that this is going to be the plan for them. And whether or not that works out is like 50-50, right? Like, sure, some people just know what they want to do and that's great, but I don't think most people do. Like, I certainly didn't. And so I chose the subjects I liked, and I liked drama and fucking, you know, English and art and stuff. But I didn't choose useful. I wasn't interested in useful things. I was interested, and I went to the kind of school that was very like.
And now, you know, this is exactly the problem we have, right?
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, but wait, don't you have more options in university? Because we have to choose our subject before we go, and that's it. Like, if you change your mind, you have to drop out and apply for a different course somewhere else.
What do you mean?
So, like, when I left school, you have three qualifications, you have three subjects, you can use those to apply for one subject at a university, and you only study that.
No, university system in Austria is pretty liberal. You can pick at the university everything you want. You say, I want to be a doctor, and you are terrible, maybe, but yeah, you have every right and every chance to try it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, is you're asking teenagers to whittle all their subjects down to three eventually, and they have to, like, then that's all you've got. So if I wanted to go and become a doctor, I'd have to go way back and redo subjects, like, at the age 14 level. Like, I'd completely have to redo things.
Oh, God.
Which is terrible. So stupid. Yeah, it's so stupid. And it just means, like, I couldn't apply for most things. If only there was an option for being a kink podcaster, it would have made my life easier. Do you know what? Like, today, this whole week, I've been fucking, I don't know. We're in the last days of Twitter. It's dead, and it's horrible, and it's horrifying, and everything feels like an infernal hell.
It is super horrifying for me. And if it really closes down, it's like the contacts I made there, the people I stay in contact over Twitter. And all of it just because one stupid man-child...
I know, honestly.
Man-child wants a new toy, then the toy does not work the way he wants to, so he breaks it so that nobody else can play with it.
Yep. It's depressing, but I don't know if it's because we all know. I don't know, I've been getting a lot of messages and follows like this week already, and I'm like, is it because we all know we're all about to go, so we're just saying fuck it and talking to the people we want to talk to and trying to use it? I don't know. Listen, if some young tech-savvy Gen Z or millennial wants to come along and make a platform that allows not safe for work content and is, you know, is maybe like 18 plus and has a zero tolerance policy on hate speech, fucking great, you'll be a millionaire, billionaire probably, and like we would all use it. But isn't this just the way? It's always the fucking kinksters who get kicked out first. And
no, it's the kinksters and the weird people who built the communities in the first place,
right? And then get
fucking... And then it's basically the same like gentrification, basically the same thing, you know?
Yeah,
the weirdos, the alternative people, the gay people, the queer crowd, whoever, you name it, come, yep, make something cool. Oh yeah, let's move in this neighborhood. Then they have their jobs and then they have their children. Then suddenly everything is closed and the neighborhood dies. And suddenly they are standing there thinking, huh, this used to be a more fun place than yeah, it is now.
It makes me think of like, people are saying they want to go back to Tumblr now. And I'm like, I just don't like that idea because like there was a reason we left. And yeah, they're and not.
The problem with Tumblr was it was so uninteractive. No, because right, just the way yeah, Twitter yeah, is built is very exactly, good for quick responses, quick yeah, impressions. Yeah, and
in the moment.
Yeah, and very in the moment.
Like Instagram is great, but it's not like I can just.
Tumblr was more static. Twitter is like your thoughts, like a street when you come to fetish. Twitter is basically like a Folsom Street Fair. Totally, everybody posing and presenting his outfit and his genitalia or
and
whatever.
And you can immediately interact.
Exactly, with said genitals.
Well, if you're into that.
Exactly. And Tumblr, on the other hand, is yeah, as if I place my pictures in yes, an art yeah, gallery, yeah, yeah, let people look at it, but then I leave. You know?
Yeah, you can read my essay, but not actually talk to me.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Instagram. It's like, I can't just post what I'm thinking, yeah, you know?
And it's prude.
I know. And like,
and so for me, it's a no totally, option because, you know, what I do, I cannot do on Instagram.
Yeah, like so most no, of what I do, I can't put on Instagram. And it bums me out because it's just like, I want to put live action stuff on there and I want to put. You get reported for having a fucking pup hood. It's ridiculous.
It's the same. It's the same with like porn filters or this laws or those laws. The fun thing is, as soon as somebody in the physical world thinks, "Oh, I have a smart idea. I close down this. I do that," then it takes the internet, the hive mind of the internet, about 3 days to come up with a workaround mm-hmm, resolution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Tumblr. I mean, you can still find porn on Tumblr because you can just track down repos.
That is the reassuring thing. But
we shouldn't have to.
The problem is that Twitter is so concentrated. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing. Everybody is there of the kink community. And so if it falls, that would mean that up to the point where maybe another platform rises as the new standard, it will be the community will be shattered.
Well,
because nobody makes five new profiles.
Exactly.
Five
and
sets.
The other thing is, like, you know, okay, maybe Mastodon will be the new thing, but again, I hear it's very complicated. And until someone makes something more simple, it's like when people are going back to OnlyFans now, and I'm like, no, just because they realized how important sex workers are and they like need them as the backbone of the community is sex workers, you can't just change your mind and go, oh no, actually it's fine, you guys can stay. No, fuck you. You didn't want to have us.
But the thing, OnlyFans, I thought all OnlyFans was always pretty nice to them.
No,
the sexual
they
content.
No, they started out that way, and then they tried to ban sexual content when they got big.
Yeah, but then exactly, they realized. Just
yeah, they
like
realized.
Twitter,
they're like, oh, so
everybody realized social media with paywall or without paywall. Social media, you know, you cannot run a social media platform solely on, I don't know, soccer moms making yoga
right,
and some hipsters reviewing urban street.
I mean, you
food,
can, but also there needs to
no,
be
but no,
another.
But nobody's going to pay
right,
on that
yeah,
for
yeah,
OnlyFans.
Yeah, yeah. But you also need. Well, and it was a different. Like, it's the same few banks that put the pressure on them to do that. But it's like, where are these banks curtailing financial crime? Why is it okay, you know, so long as people are giving the money, but then they feel they have a moral obligation to stop the reach of sex workers? Like, that's so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and this whole, you know, it always reminds me of the moral argument, reminds me of Helen Lovejoy from The Simpsons. Would somebody please think of the children?
Yeah, off.
You know, and yeah, and you know, because, and I'm pissed because it means people like me and you get kicked off and deplatformed because some cross-kissing Bible Belt mom in the States thinks that the internet is all way too filthy or whatever.
Well, it just goes to show who gets to have a voice and, like, who will always be marginalized, and it's always going to be, oh, those... And it especially annoys me when you see people online who, even in kink this happens, but especially in queer communities where it's like, oh, we're the normal gays, the quote-unquote normal gays. You know, those sex freaks. No, we're not like them. And it's like, guys, you are never going to...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just saying,
pointing the finger at other people.
Like the mere idea of banning fetish and kink from Christopher Street days is so ridiculous. You know... And it always reminds me of, you know, my kink, my fetish, my gay life is something that I own and that you and I, we all own together. And it's not meant to be a safe space for families or like it has this form of, hey, honey, what do we do with the children this Sunday? Oh, I thought in the morning we go to the zoo and in the afternoon let's watch the gay people at the parade. Yeah, okay, you can do that. But if you don't. If you cannot stand the smoke, step back.
Yeah,
from the
it's
fire.
Not a petting zoo. It's not like, oh, let's bring the kids to Folsom. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it is a petting zoo, but I cannot go to the petting zoo and say, oh, but you know, I'm afraid of goats. So when I'll buy a ticket, but when I see one goat, I sue you. All goats. Ban all goats from zoos. I love zoos, and they are the cutest animals. But
yeah, it's like pride goats. Would not be what it is if it weren't for the kinksters who were there, like making that protest a protest. And nowadays, to say that they now shouldn't be welcome, it's like, okay, I guess kinksters constantly have to move to a new space. And it's
it will never happen. But in theory, let it happen in our fantasy. When kinksters are banned from the Christopher Street Day, then there will be a gay kink parade, and you can bet where the fun is.
Yes, and then people will come to the kink parade and say no more kink at the kink parade.
And everybody, and not only that, because kinksters, you know, just because you call it does not mean that it's a normal CSD minus kinksters, because the kinksters are the party crowd and drag with them a lot of people who maybe are not into kink, but just want to have a good time.
Yes, the cool people that want to hang out, or even just the people who are doing other things that are supported by those people in the community or work in those communities, like drag queens or other performers, like you're always going to have a way better time over at that party. So, of course, people are going to go there.
But you know, that is the next thing. Because if you come with like the kids and families argument, you say, okay, it's immoral to have like this guy dressed as a dog or a guy on a leash, okay, but from that point, it's not very far to say...
The same as Santa Claus, sorry, like, it's the same as Halloween.
Yeah, but you know, but it's not good to have children seeing, like, a man dressed as a woman that can be confusing.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe it's just... It's totally fine in your clubs.
It's fine to... If they see an elf at Christmas, but if they see a drag queen, oof. They'll be so confused, like...
But you know what I'm trying to say? If you exclude one group, then it is reasonable to exclude
and then you
other
keep,
groups. Because when you opened this box, you can say, hey, well, the kinksters were underlawed, so why? You know, my kids would love to see a puppy, but they are terribly scared of tall, muscular women. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have a little side at all? Because that's something that I've not actually... I kind of came to it from that angle.
I do have one. But one thing is that, you know, when you want to put an age label on it.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
I'm definitely not a baby. You know, I don't need nursery prints and it's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to age play, I can enjoy it and like it, but then I see myself more like maybe 14 or something like that. You know, a teenage guy who either still needs diapers or gets it as punishment or whatever, something like that. And also, you know, I like to wear dungarees, and when I say cute clothes, then more cool boy vibes instead of teddy bear cute. You know what I mean?
This
is, and the thing is, this is also something that developed together with my Twitter profile. You know, it's not about herding or hoarding followers. It's more about, but of course, you know, this whole thing, this popularity rabbit hole, you want to create followers and want to create stuff that is liked. And so I was very focused, like on the first entries on Twitter on this whole sneaker sportswear stuff. But increasingly, I sneaked in stuff of my little side as well, you know, with the Turtles and lately, recently, the Spider-Man diaper and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that was so cool.
And, so I have both sides, but the little side is maybe not that visible because it's not so in your face, full-blown baby. It's more like, as I told you.
Yeah.
And I also don't need to permanently like put a label on it, age-wise or whatever. It's more like it's not in my case, it's not exactly a role. It's more like a feeling. A general feeling of being like the one, the little guy, or what many people like about it, like being cared for.
Yeah,
something like that.
And I get that kind of like mine feels more like a kid, you know, that's like been like the little brother kind of being picked on or bullied or, you know, made fun of or has to wear that, you know, that kind of
don't bully me, I'll feeling. Come.
Yeah, quite. I also didn't realize like how eclectic your kink. Well,
it's super eclectic. I always say like the list of my don't likes or no goes is way shorter than the other list.
Which I'm now, very rapidly approaching.
So you know, on the internet, on dating platforms, usually there's the question, what are you into?
Yeah.
And I usually say, it's more easy to tell you what I'm not into.
Yes, yeah. Well, because also you have a lot of gear, and I was actually surprised to see, like, just how much stuff. I was like, oh, wow, like, we're getting totally kitted up, and when I was getting all the pup stuff together, it was like, what else is strong in that sphere? Like, cause I've never encountered your like puppy side or anything.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, how can I put this? It has changed over, the recent years due to COVID because, you know, especially in like the first year, you could not really go to events or meet people because everybody was like scared or whatever and had to adapt to a new situation. And basically people had better stuff to do. And diapers are nice because it's a fetish that you can enjoy at home for yourself.
Yeah.
And I know people can also enjoy themselves for the weekend to be alone and wrap themselves up in rubber. But diapers is nice because you can like wear it on a daily basis and stuff like this. And it's a very comforting and relaxed fetish that you can integrate into your life or in other fetishes pretty easy. And so and as I told you, it was my first fetish, so it kind of is the dearest one to me, also because even if it's more popular, it is still kind of something special, a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is definitely like the one that I use the most, to put it like that. So that is why it's like the most present one in my
repertoire,
in my life, or in my repertoire. Yeah, but there are many other things that I like.
What's number two?
Oh, yeah. So the sort of question is, what is it?
Well, just like what? Because I mean, like.
I like all kinds of toys.
Okay, yes, I did actually see. Also, your like bin of restraints is huge.
My bin of restraints. Oh yeah, but as I recently realized, a good amount of it is like broken beyond use because of resting there so long. For example, I had a neoprene head harness that grabbed rubber cancer. It is basically dissolving. Yeah, there's always no when it becomes this sticky mess of
that's annoying.
Of desperation.
Sticky mess of desperation, that's a great title for the episode.
Oh god. So it goes down to like sportswear fetishes, Kelly skater, then we have the technical stuff like pumping, electro, all kinds of toys, and yeah, you name it. Many, many things that I do like. What I...
Shitting in the mouth of policemen.
You really like that story,
huh? I really do. It's dear to my heart.
Yeah, I see. Oh, God.
Okay, so where's...
If you had been in my situation, you would have done the same.
Yeah, maybe.
If a policeman asks you that, if a real policeman asks you that question, you do not hesitate. Yeah. out of courtesy and as a thank for their service. You'd be a good citizen and do what
yeah,
you
Yeah, be asking. A good citizen. Was it like kind of hot though, or was it just kind of, you're just doing it for...
It, I mean...
Because that was the time you told me that.
First of all, the thing is, I'm not... It sounds weird if I say it in context with diapers and in context with the cop story, but I am actually not into scat.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That you use. I'm not into scat, meaning for me, I have no problem to shit in a diaper and sit in it or walk around in it because they are made for containment. The mess itself as well as odors. And it's a little bit like farts. You know, your own farts don't smell as bad as those of other guys. You know, I mean, they are still not lovely. But
I don't know, mine are pretty bad.
No, but you know what I mean? You can't stand them better than a stranger's fart. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of. And the same is for poop. I mean, you poop every day in a toilet, you know how it smells, and as long and... What I'm trying to say is I'm not into scat in the respect of I don't like to smell it. I don't like to smear with it and stuff like this. This is just, again, not my cup of tea. It's totally fine if somebody wants that. But I can stand and tolerate it when I'm shitting in a diaper or, you know, when I poop in somebody's mouth.
Yeah.
So this is a way, you know, it does not really affect me directly, so it's okay to use it in that way for kink and fetish. And as you were asking about like the feeling, besides all filthiness or whatever, it was a super intense feeling of power.
Yeah,
you know, this whole domination and the whole dom sub dynamic was very intense. It's very intense if you do that.
See,
because that is kind of the ultimate humiliation, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So the humiliation, my sort of...
I mean, it's everybody has different triggers for what's humiliating, but we can all agree that this is pretty high on the list, I guess.
I guess the reason I was wondering was because when you told me that was the same week that I peed in someone's mouth for the first time. And I thought that would be, I don't know. Cause like I don't mess, but I wet and I have no problem with it, but I don't know. I found it really difficult to do. And then him swallowing.
What in a psychological way?
Yeah. Like it was really hard to pee. And then I only could in little bursts. And
yeah, but it's just the same. It's the same thing. Peeing or pooping in a diaper. It's like when you're diving into the fetish, like for the first couple of times, then it's like really hard, and you need to have a certain body position and concentrate. And imagine I'm in front of the urinal or whatever, and meanwhile I can let it flow and go on all sides in every position and situation, basically. So I guess this is just you need to get used to that.
I guess I was just like, the swallowing I kind of found a bit gross, and I was like, I don't know if this is for me, but then I also feel like it's not for me, so I don't know, maybe I just need to try it more.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, when you are on the top side or dominant or master side of the scene, I'm more open and easygoing about trying things when I'm the top, you know. For example, the guy...
I feel the other way.
Really?
I find it way easier when someone's guiding me.
Really? No, for example, a guy comes, asks, hey, you want to shit in my mouth? And if I'm a little boozed and think like, yeah, you know, could be fun. Why not? But on the other hand, he goes, hey, I want to shit in your mouth.
Oh, yes.
I would have him told, oh, no.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say. You
no,
know?
I agree. I agree. Yeah. I would have said no if it was the other way around. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. But I kind of like it when someone guides me into something is what I meant.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but this is like mouth shitting is, for example, definitely something that I don't want to experience on the sub side.
No.
No offense again.
Well,
to all the shit connoisseurs out there, but you know,
shit connoisseurs. Okay, so I'm looking at the time, and we about that time. We kind of need to wrap up. But to finish off, do you have a yay for today? Like positive, the homework that I gave you.
The yay for today.
Yes.
Is that this week was like ups and downs, also and especially in my struggle to find like a new profession for me. But recently, as trying to get into like the creative field, recently I am increasingly motivated to do it again. You know, it got a little bit on pause during COVID because there was no reason to do something. Mm-hmm. Or nothing that inspired me or whatever. And it's like, together with like that I get more and more positive responses. You know, I'm always very critical of my own work, but I increasingly tried to show it to other people and to get their feedback and whatever. And the positive feedback motivated me to like try to find job, whatever. And and last week I made maybe the possibility for me to like find an internship at a big creative agency, whatever. And I got like thumbs up from the guys there that I showed my stuff. It's not their decision. And yeah, basically this like motivated me and gave me a little self-reassurance into my abilities and maybe that they are for more use than to put stupid stuff on diapers.
Hell yeah, that's so cool. Also, putting stupid stuff on diapers is a very noble cause.
Yeah, but so far I have not yet found a way to make a living out of it.
So far. Hey, people will line up for it, I'm sure. Branded diapers?
Yeah, but, you know, then not I would make the money, but the brands.
Hell yeah. Okay, so my yay today is actually just gonna be my friend Cassie, because I just saw him and so I'm thinking about him, and yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and he was I spoke about him in the last episode because he was the first kinkster that I ever agreed to meet, and he introduced me to so much, and he guided me through my first Pride experience, which was this year. And he was there for my first Folsom experience. And I mean, like, I helped him move house, which I would never do for anyone and will also never do again. But yeah, he's awesome. So go check him out on Twitter before Twitter implodes. He is at PupCassie. He has two. He's got his pup one. And then at little_Cassie_ is his little one. Thank you so much for doing this. This has been fucking awesome. As hanging out with you always is. So thanks for listening. Be safe out there, guys. And be good people. And join us next week as we go under the big top. Mm-hmm.